When was the last time you changed your mind about something or someone important? In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Please be seated. When was the last time you changed your mind about something or someone that was important? So the good thing about having a new musician is he's not heard all my bad jokes. Alex, why did the punk rocker cross the road? Because he was stapled to the chicken. He was stapled to the... No. A minister, priest, and a rabbi walk into a bar. A traveling salesman says to the farmer's daughter, a Boy Scout asks the old lady crossing the street, why does the chicken XYZ? We have formulas for telling jokes. They're this consistent, and there's a whole bunch of them. And there's, like, for instance, there is a whole genre of banjo jokes. What's the best part of a banjo song? It's the end. How do you tune a banjo? With a chainsaw. Yeah, like that. Right. Exactly. Part of the problem is, you know, a culture 2,000 years later might have missed those set-up formulas. And that's the challenge with today's gospel, because it's a set-up formula. Rich man and a poor man go to Hades. Ba-da-boom. Right? And we would be mistaken if we think that that text this morning is about, well, rich people got what they want in this life, poor people get it in the next, and it's called karma. Well, karma is a silly idea. We don't believe in that as Christians in generally. But the fun part about the gospel this morning is it's got a different punchline. Paul, as Luke, is very concerned about poverty. He is very concerned about the proper use of wealth and riches and the warning about that. That's a major theme in Luke's gospel. Make no mistake. So it's not a surprise that the people who organized our lectionary readings, all the New Testament and the Psalm and the Gospel, looked at this reading from Luke and thought, oh, let's find other readings that are about justice, social justice, poverty and wealth, and economic issues. And so you saw that theme in Luke's in Timothy and in the Psalm and in the Old Testament and Amos. Fine as far as it goes, but that's not the point of this particular story and its punchline of Luke's gospel. Luke is not making a moral point about rich and poor. Again, he does that elsewhere. This time, he uses it as a means to get the disciples ready and thoughtful about what happens when people choose not to change their mind about him. So even if someone would come back from the dead, they will not believe. Seeing is believing, right? Or not. And that's why I asked the question, when was the last time you really changed your mind about something or someone? Don't really think about it. I spent the week trying to think about a time when I thought differently about somebody. Or something. Because our feelings and opinions really become sort of rock solid sometimes in ways that are not appropriate. Feelings and opinions. Sincerity is never a test of truth. I don't care how strongly you believe about something. You know, I'm very sure the people in the Ku Klux Klan are very sincere about their belief about white superiority. It ain't true, but they believe it. Now, I'm not, but that's a little over-the-top illustration, but don't we have some fixed opinions about people and things, don't we? That are pretty firm. We need to be clear about what it takes to be a disciple of Christ, which means we have a lot to learn all the way through the journey of life that we have. We have to be able to have our minds changed. The word repent, as I keep telling you over and over again, does not mean to grovel and feel badly and guilty. It literally means, in the Greek, to rethink. To rethink everything. And that's really important for us to be open to the new ideas that might happen. How we change our life or our lifestyle. I have a question for you. Why did you show up today? Here, anyway. In some way, you're waking this morning, or if you work through the night, staying up, and you made a decision to show up here in the community of faith when you certainly had other options. So why are you here, or why do you continue to come back? It's not a bad question. So if you had to tell someone why you're here, and what does it mean for you to be here, what would you say? Well, I made a paltry attempt at it. Why I become a member of Church of the Holy Spirit? What would you really say? Well, I say, by journeying with you and us together, we will find the strong life of Jesus loving and true, blessing us with a spirit of grace, meaning, and hope that empowers us to be his disciples, thereby becoming his loving hands and heart in a world so desperate for it. And that journey together will change your life forever. I think on that sign out front we had unveiled at the 4th of July parade, you know, love your neighbor without exceptions, especially those who don't think like you, vote like you, love like you, pray like you, speak like you. I always thought we ought to add a little eat like you, you know, because I don't understand vegan at all. Do you know what I mean? Now at the 8 o'clock service, John, our lamb at the 8 o'clock, John Andrews is, his son is a vegan, and he's like slightly offended at it. So I apologize if you're vegan. But I have to tell you, I'm thinking about becoming a vegetarian. Shocking, I know, given my love for beef burgundy. But I'm starting to change my mind about it. I might stick with fish, maybe. What do you call those people that just eat? Pescatarians. Sort of like Episcopalian, but... Pescatarian. I don't know. It's really close there. I'm really close. But I'm thinking about gifts. There's certainly red meat. You know, and what, why? Well, health reasons, surely. And then I thought about the trouble in the Amazon, you know. The ranchers burning up the forest to get more cattle range. And I thought to myself, gee, I don't want to really. I'm only one person, all that, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I ought to do. So maybe it's that. How do we change? How do you change? How do you let your mind be changed? So part of it is humility that I'm willing. I'm willing to not. I'm going to try something different. I might not have the right answer about it. I might not be right. Oof. And then courage to try something different. Right? So humility and then trying something. Trying something different. Humility. Courage. Then I think there has to be some sort of embrace of the uncomfortable. Right? So when you learn a new habit or learn a new skill, it's very awkward at first. Right, choir? And then it takes a while before it becomes useful and employable in your daily living. But I don't get to do that unless I embrace the uncomfortable place. Humility, courage, discomfort, and its virtue. You came here today from a very comfortable bed, safe and secure in your own domicile. You made a choice. It might have been one to which you have a habit of coming in on a Sunday, but it was still a choice. I hope that you can leave differently than you came. I will be. And then, understand the virtue of humility, of giving up a sense of rightness, cultivating courage, and then embracing discomfort. I think this is where our lives get changed by Jesus. By journeying in Church of the Holy Spirit, you will find the strong life of Jesus, loving and true, blessing us with the spirit of grace, meaning, and hope, empowering us to be disciples, becoming loving hands and heart of Christ to the world, and that journey together will change us forever. Amen.